It's been a long day without you, Payton, and we'll tell you all about it when we see you again. We drove a long way in our minivan, and we'll help you find your father once we've saved our children. Once we've saved our children.
Darn, time flew. Tiger, a Faerun, so much to teach you. How to tie a half Windsor, how to use wood glue, running football drills, and how to light a grill and pay your bills. But now we found you another home, where you'll make cool swords and never be alone. And I know one day our paths will cross again, cause you're a son to me, my dear Payton.
I got a sentimental heart and it's breaking in two, like a geode, cause I know this is what we gotta do. But no, alkaline, our intentions are true. You're the shist, Payton Bennett, of course we love you. Will our paths meet again? Yo, they stalagmite, but if that day never comes, keep it stalactite. Keep it stalactite.
Could we not talk about combat when combat's all that we got? Grew up in the octagon with all the punches he caught. Now we gotta leave you with the bully walk.
It's been a long day without you, Payton, and we'll tell you all about it when we see you again.
Yeah, when I see you again.
We drove a long way in our minivan,
using that cruise control.
And we'll help you find your father. We've saved our children. Once we've saved our children.
Don't make me pull this over.
The other dads are crying. They think it's harsh that I'm not. I'm bad with faces, but your name's something I haven't forgotten. Either it's Payson or Patton, Percy, and your arms are pythons. Kid, you can't really protect us, so it's time we move on. And I'd wish you luck in battle, but we know that you lose. So I guess it all seems right that we would lose you too.
Could we not talk about combat when combat's all that we got? Grew up in the octagon with all the punches he caught. Now we gotta leave you with the bully walk.
Welcome to Dungeons and Daddies, not a BDSM podcast, sometimes a BDSM podcast, and sometimes a D&D podcast about four dads from our world flung into the Forgotten Realms in the quest to rescue their lost sons. Morning edition. That's right. We normally record at night, and we're bringing that hardcore Sunday morning 8:30 a.m. energy into this. My name is Freddie Wong. I play Glenn Close, the bard of the group, and also a rock and roll cover band dad. And this week's dad fact for Glenn is this. Glenn's favorite Star Wars movie is number 2, Attack of the Clones, baby.
Worst one. Of course he likes the literal worst one.
Hell yeah. No.
What's his favorite thing about it?
Clones. Is that the one with the Yoda
fight? His
favorite
thing is the clones.
That's the one, yes, that's the one, Yoda versus Dooku.
That's the one where C-3PO's head is next to his body, and then R2-D2 grabs it, and C-3PO says...
Such a drag.
Glenn's slow clap during the Yoda fight.
I would have thought that Glenn would be a Return of the Jedi special edition man, what with the Sice Noodles and the Max Rebo bands. Hit single Jedi rocks.
Did you know that canonically those bands play a form of music in Star Wars called jizz? Jizz.
No, that's the band in the Mos Eisley Cantina, you fucking fake fan.
I'm not like other Star Wars fans.
I like jizz.
All right, 8:30 in the morning. That's 8:30.
That's the most I've heard that word that early in the morning.
You need to get out more.
Then I'm going to start calling you at 4:30.
Matt, who is that? Don't worry, it's just Anthony calling again.
It's
jizz.
It's jizz likely.
Oh, man.
I'm likely to jizz.
No.
Anthony, when do we meet jizz likely in the adventure?
When I get sick of your shit. It'll be a punishment for bad role playing.
All right. I'm already regretting my dad fact after all this. All right. My name's Matt Arnold. I'm Daryl Wilson, a stay-at-home coach dad who's now a barbarian. Fun fact, starting with a mad fact, which is it's 8:30 in the morning for everybody here. It feels more like 4 p.m. for me because I've been up since 2 a.m. because my baby didn't sleep.
Oh, no.
So I don't remember what my dad fact actually was. So here's a real one.
You're a dad.
Which is going to be a little Daryl fact. Daryl's favorite thing about being a father when Grant was born was when they're asleep and they wake up, the kids have this moment where they're like, they don't really understand what the world is and their eyes are wide and glazed over and they're looking all around and they don't really know where they are. And then they lock eyes with you and they have a big smile when they realize you're there. And that's Daryl's favorite thing about being a dad, and Matt's favorite thing.
So it's the knowledge that you matter.
Yes.
So it's mainly about you.
It's mostly about me. It's mostly about me. That and baby farts. Those are his second favorite thing.
Hey, what's up? I'm Will Campos. I play Henry Oak, the Birkenstock rocking, granola crunching, hippie nature druid dad of the squad. That's what we call our dads, the squad.
The squad.
Whenever you hear news about the squad on Twitter, that's people talking about
it. Definitely feels like Henry
Dungeons and Daddies.
You're taking it back from the women of color.
That's right.
They've co-opted squad enough.
Is anybody else really annoyed at how awake and chipper Will is right now?
I feel power coursing through my veins. I'm very excited. You guys are just mad because I've got energy and you guys fucking all dying over here. Henry's dad fact this week is that Henry was born on May 23rd, which makes him a Gemini.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been so busy you wished you could clone yourself just to get everything done? That's the Gemini experience in a nutshell. Appropriately symbolized by the celestial twins, just like Lark and Sparrow. This air sign was interested in so many pursuits that it had to double itself. Read your sign's full profile here next month. Next, read this month's Gemini horoscope predictions. Anyway,
Gemini.
Henry's a Gemini.
All right.
Hey, what's up? I'm Beth May, and I play Ron Stabler. Fun fact about Beth is that I'm sick, so my Ron voice is my real life voice, and everybody's like, "Oh, you play Ron Stabler on Dungeons and Daddies," and I'm like, "I'm lying," because nobody recognizes me in real life. Okay, cool. So it's 8:30 a.m.
8:30.
Fun fact about Ron this week is that he is allergic to pollen.
Oh, poor Ron.
That's it.
Sniffly boy.
B-O-I, spelled like that.
He was a sniffly boy.
I'm Anthony Birch. I'm your daddy master. Today's daddy fact is you should watch Fleabag. I'm sure nobody in your life has been telling you to watch Fleabag. I'm the first person you've ever heard saying that Fleabag is very good, but you should watch it. Also, I don't know if you noticed, Will, but somebody on Facebook was like, "I fucking bet you that Henry's second favorite TV show is The Sunset.
Yeah.
I commented on it.
Oh, did you?
I was very happy
about that. That's fucking great. Yeah. That's good shit. So, when we last left you, you had found out that there is not one man in a purple robe, but there are three mans in purple robes, and they sort of were squaring off against you. What do you do? Do you want to try to wake up? Do you want to try to talk to him?
We're engaged in a dreamscape battle, right?
Yeah.
Wake up, Daryl. Everybody wake up. Everybody just wake up.
Glenn is buck fucking naked and just helicopter digging in the corner like, whoa.
Oh my God.
What?
Hey, that's 30 a.m.
Ron has a wicked calf cramp from not eating bananas in the daytime.
I love that as like the older you get, the more mundane your dreams get too. It's just like, oh yeah, oh no, I got cramp.
Henry's still 400 feet tall, but
120.
His teeth are falling out.
Oh man.
So yeah, that's what's happening, Anthony. We got leg cramp. Freddy's naked. I'm rolling around screaming, wake up. And Will is over there with teeth falling out.
I spit out some teeth and I say, "What do you gentlemen want? Who are you?"
So the tall one temples his fingers because that's the thing that supervillains do if they're tall and skinny.
Oh, they could do that, or they can do the Gendo move from Evangelion where he adjusts his glasses with his middle finger with his hand in front of his
face.
And then
there's like a little shine that like goes across
the
glass.
No joke. I was like, you know what would be amazing is to take that like reflective film and have like a version of glasses that you could wear to like conventions. He has like a button on the bridge that would make it like glare like in an anime fashion. Anyway.
I feel like I would unironically buy that.
That's my Kickstarter
Hello,
idea.
Hello, sharks. Today I'm here to present the anime. Anime shades.
Oh,
weird. Shark Tank got canceled because one idea was so bad.
Mr. Wonderful, I know you're a Naruto Shippuden fan.
The tall one says, "All I need you to do is save your children. Do exactly what you've been doing."
So why did you call this meeting?
Yeah.
I didn't. You came here.
This could have been an email.
We go to sleep and then we wake up here and then you guys are like hello and being all mysterious. So what is
yeah,
this?
Where is here?
The one who choked out Daryl goes like, I was asleep. You ambushed me. I don't know why the fuck you think that. You're not the most important thing in my world.
Of course we ambushed you. You kidnapped our sons. Yeah.
And we've been asleep. We've slept multiple times and not shown up here. So
yeah,
don't
hold
act like
the phone. Like, you definitely, like, we went to sleep the first time and you were like, hey, assholes, it's me, the purple guy.
Yeah. Hey, no, you tell us how not to get here when we sleep and we won't do it anymore.
Yeah, I was having a cool sex dream.
It's clearly.
all three of them look at Glenn and are like, no, you weren't.
I wasn't.
No, I mean, if you don't want to see us anymore, that's fucking fine by me. You guys, you're terrible.
Why do you want us to save our kids?
Because we need to save your kids, and we can't save your kids unless you save your kids.
Why do you need to save our kids?
Because they clearly need better fathers.
Well,
we already saved
according
them.
To who?
According to this guy. All three of them point themselves simultaneously with a hooked thumb.
Wait, which guy?
Again, this guy. They just point themselves with the other thumb. Now it's three men in purple robes pointing themselves with both thumbs.
To you, what does saving our kids look like?
Them not being your sons anymore.
So yikes. Why don't you just go save them? I don't quite get your game here, sir.
I'm just trying to think about how much of the game they should give up. No, they don't feel like you deserve an answer. How about go fuck yourself? How about just fuck you? What are you going to do? Not go save your kids?
That's some good dad talk. You guys sound like you'd be better fathers than us. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Young man, I'm going to save your kids.
Oh, actually,
who are you?
You want to see how good fathers we are? Do you want to see? The medium-sized one, the fucking one with the perfect-sized bed and the porridge. Waves his hand.
This purple robed man is just right.
He waves his hand, and you see all of the kids who have thus far been taken away by the purple robed man. And you see Terry Jr. just sort of sitting by himself, just sort of like looking into the middle distance, like just looking kind of introspective in a way that you've maybe never seen him before.
Look at Terry Jr. For the first time, he has been free to think his own thoughts and not be completely overwhelmed by all the pressure you've been putting on him as his shitty stepdad. And
yeah, we did that, asshole. He's there because we did that.
Yeah, there's a list. Let me get through the list of all the kids and explain how they're better off, and then you can
Daryl,
make your fucking
complaints. Daryl, it's okay. This is a cutscene.
Yeah, this is...
He thinks his own thoughts. I mean, I wouldn't call myself a beep. I can't say it, but he calls me words that I would never call myself.
Yeah. No, he doesn't say those things anymore because he's content. Look at his, look at that punim.
He gestures.
Sorry,
at that punim. It's Yiddish for face. And then he points at Lark and Sparrow, and Lark and Sparrow are just sitting quietly with their hands in their laps. They go,
Lark, Sparrow, my beautiful boys!
He goes, look at that. I told them to sit there quietly until I got back, and you know what they're doing? They're sitting quietly. They listen to me, unlike you.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's
how
right.
How dare you chain their spirits to the ground? You monster!
I set boundaries, bitch.
And then he points at Nicholas Close. And Nicholas is like reading a book.
You know what he's not doing? He's not snorting druggy flowers. He's not running around getting into bar fights. He's fucking sitting there and reading because I gave him a good book.
What kind of book?
Glenn, I do feel like this guy is a good influence on Nick there.
What's he? Book? Book? No. Glenn's familiar with books. He checks out a lot of books on conspiracy theories from the library. The real library. What kind of book is it?
It's the Red Badge of Courage.
Is that about like
a good book?
Is that about like aliens?
No, it's about the cost of war and the honor and dignity of war. It's a classic.
The honor and dignity of war sounds like propaganda to me.
Sounds like right-wing propaganda to me.
Like, all three of them are just like, start shaking their head. They're like, oh, liberal bias. This is
not to call it, because I know Anthony knows what Red Badge of Courage is. Clearly, the character does. It's actually more about, like, the disaster of war, because it's about a guy who fights the Civil War.
Oh, I've never read it, to be fair.
But if you're dumb, you might think it's about the dignity
of
war.
Yeah, that's true. As a kid, I was like, war's
grade
rad.
In a
yeah,
war, exactly. You might think it's awesome.
It's the Fight Club of books about the Civil War.
Son, based off of your pretty basic reading of that book, I'm assuming I don't think these people are adults. I think they're children.
You think they're kids?
I think they're kids.
Hey, can I ask you something?
Yeah, go right ahead.
So we've been getting the kids, and then you take them away. So who are you?
Clearly, the better fathers.
That's not an answer to the question. That's like a what are you?
Are you kids?
I'm asking like, what's your name?
No, we're not kids.
Are you from our world?
Why don't you stop asking stupid questions?
What's your tax
and go
rate?
Get your fucking
what's
they
your
got hoods on, right?
Yeah, they got hoods on.
I go to pull one of their hoods down.
Okay, go ahead and roll dexterity.
I got a 10.
All right, they got a 15. And he just
just to clarify,
which one are you going for?
His hand is
that
about
feels
50
like it would be
wide.
A disadvantage on dexterity.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah. So it's very slowly moves toward him, like fucking Ant-Man after he's gotten massive, and the guy just goes. It just slaps your hand away with, again, the force of like somebody who seems like way stronger. He's like, this is our realm. You think I can't see this shit coming?
Oh, so it is your realm.
Yeah.
So what do you mean? Like, what was this like?
You invade it every time you fucking go to sleep and show up here. We don't want you around here. I don't fucking like you. If I did, I would be around you more.
Then why do you talk to us if you're so cool?
Why do you wake up?
Why do you talk to us? Let's make fun of him. Ron's hit a nerve.
Wait. You were making fun of me.
No, I'm making fun of them. I was doing what you're doing.
Henry, I can't believe you're making fun of me.
I'm so sorry, Ron. No, I was trying to make fun of them.
If you can't even be friends, how can you be fathers? You have none of the understanding of how to treat
them. I thought a lot of dads don't have friends.
That's real dark. That's real sad.
Hey, Terry, can you hear me?
They can't hear you. I've shown you a vision of them. They're safe from your influence.
How do we know those are real visions? You should put them in front of a newspaper or something.
So, Glenn pounds his fist on a table that appears in front of him. We need proof of life, damn it.
My boys would never sit still and respect the authority of an adult. This is bullshit.
So the squat one speaks into his wrist and he goes, hey, Nick, go get the
Nick, we're coming for you. We love you.
And you see Nick like perk up and look up and he goes, oh, hey. Hey, guys.
Yeah, can you go get the newspaper? Today's newspaper from the front door. I think I left it there before. Yeah, thanks.
Grab the sports section while you're at it.
You see Nick get up and leave, and then he comes back, and he holds up the Faerun newspaper, and it's got a picture of, like, the three guys in purple robes, and it just says, the purple robes, still cool. And it's got a date that means nothing to you because it's not Earth date. But he goes, like, that's now. It's, trust me. You can ask them something only they would know, and I can, if that's matters to you.
Oh, yeah, I want to do that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, can you put me in with my two boys, Lark and Sparrow?
Yeah, he puts his hand up so you can speak into his wrist microphone.
Lark, Sparrow, what the fuck's going on? Where are you guys?
That's rude. I gave you a chance to,
and he covers up his hand. And Lark and Sparrow go like, Dad! Oh, Dad? 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 Dad?
Terry.
Well, I'm not going to let you. You don't have phone privileges anymore. No, he didn't ask a question at all.
Come on. Give me phone privileges.
All right, you get one.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm being so nice.
I'm happy that you are being so nice. And after this, you know, we could share dreams all the time if you want.
I don't want that.
Okay, anyway.
The tall one is like, none of us want that. I cannot think of anything I would want less than that for you.
Terry.
Ron Stampler.
Oh, you know my name.
Of course that. What? Are you fucking kidding me? What kind of operation do you think this is?
I'm more famous than I thought I was. Hi, Terry. I was wondering if you have seen my mug with the golf club on it as the handle. So I lost it recently. I was wondering if maybe you threw it away or it broke or maybe it's just hiding in one of the other cabinets.
Terry Jr. just sort of looks up and goes like, no, I haven't seen it.
Okay. Well, see you soon, kiddo.
All right,
maybe.
See you later.
I try to subtly signal to Glenn.
Okay.
I want to try to flank the shortest one. I'm like giving you a signal to both of us run at him to try to take the hood off.
I wink at Daryl convincingly in this dream realm, and I would like to use my powers of astral projection and lucid dreaming to do like a distraction behind the short guy so that he'll like look away.
And I want to charge him.
Okay, well, you roll wisdom for your astral projection stuff and then describe what the distraction is.
Glenn Close pulls a plus zero, huh? Yeah, I guess Glenn's not a wise guy. That's a 5.
All right, so what was the distraction you tried to make?
By the way, it has to be more distracting than you pinwheeling your dick.
It was just going to be it was just going to be like as if a giant drive-in movie theater screen showed up and it was just a close-up of me pinwheeling my dick.
So that just starts projecting behind them and you're going to rush them?
Yeah. Okay. I rushed the shortest one.
So go ahead and do dexterity tasteful with disadvantage because the distraction did not work. They just continue to stare forward at the pinwheeling dick that's in front of them.
Dang, I should have changed it up.
I got a 4.
You come at them and he just, again, the short one just backhands you and you just like fly back 30 feet like poof, like you got hit by a fucking battering ram. And he goes like, again, this is our shit. I don't know why you guys keep trying to do.
I'm flying through the air. Can I use my lucid dreaming to turn into a football for a second?
Sure, go ahead.
I turn into a football and I have like a perfect spiral. And then when I hit the ground, I pop back up as a person. I go, touchdown.
So all three of the men in purple like start massaging their fucking temples. And they're like,
that is the most depressing thing I've ever seen.
If nothing else illustrates the need for us over you as fathers, it's that moment right there. Thank you so much for that perfect metaphor.
Hey, could I try on the rope?
No.
Good try, Ron.
I go to the next person. Hey, could I try on your rope?
No.
I go to the last person. Hey, that robe looked great on you.
Oh, shit. Do you want to try it on?
Yeah, I'd love to.
All right, cool. No, I'm not going to let you try it on. Go fuck yourself.
Guys, I'm sick and tired of this shit. You want to just wait? Just
get out of here. This sucks.
Yeah, I hate these guys.
I think we're all sick of this. Go save your fucking kid.
Before we go, I want to kick one in the nuts as hard as I can. Be like, this is for me.
All right, go ahead and roll dexterity with disadvantage.
11.
So they rolled a natural 20.
So I kick my own nuts.
Yeah, so your foot comes up.
Even in a dream.
Poof, and then like hits it. And somehow the momentum stays, but the bat, your like heel just goes ding, and like hits you in the dick. Just right in the balls, which at this point is a very familiar feeling to you, given the way that your nunchuck have worked in the past. The force of your own feet hitting your balls wakes you up. You come back into consciousness with a violent shock. The middle guy says, when you go to Meadowshade, you're going to probably need some extra shit to help you get Grant out. So if you want to go by Bullywugs, I think they have some equipment you could get from them. But
hey, if you really want to help us get Grant, you could help us find a way for us to not eat his skin when we find him.
Oh, that's on you, my man. I'm not getting involved in a blood pact, you dumb-dumb. Dumb-dumb idiot.
This does actually hurt Daryl for some reason. He's generally upset by that insult.
This has been a true waste of time. Thank you so much. Wake the fuck up. And they all clap, and you wake up back in the van.
And Aaron O'Neill is just sort of sitting on the hood of your van being like, what's up?
Is it the morning?
Yeah, it's morning.
Oh,
you're all rested. You're relaxed. You're completely healed up. Right. You leveled up last time, so you're good on that. You have all your spell slots back.
That was we had a cool dream, and I kicked one of those bad guys in the nuts real hard. You guys saw that, right?
Yeah.
Glenn, a quick favor. If we're gonna be in that dream world pretty often, can you put clothes on in the dream?
Listen, man, I can't control my subconscious, and subconscious, I'm a free spirit, baby.
All right.
I have a couple of theories, guys.
Ooh, lay them on me. I love theories.
What? It seems to me that these purple guys can't interact with this world. Otherwise, they could just go get the kids themselves, right? They need us to do it. And it's only upon us getting the kid for some reason that they can steal them. So it seems like that was their realm, right? Like they hang out in that realm. And we know that when we go to sleep, we cross over to that realm. So what if we always have one member of the team asleep so that they can't leave? Do you know what I'm saying?
Interesting, Henry.
They can't leave the realm if one of us is there. They show up when the kids get taken. They like kind of possess them or whatever. Maybe while that's going on,
we just try and fall asleep really quick.
Aaron O'Neill.
Let's tell Aaron all this. Maybe she can help us out.
Is there like such a thing as like a sleep potion that could put you to sleep real quick?
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's sleep spells and I can make potions that do sleep out easily.
Hey, Aaron, okay. Just to give you the context, and then we like do like a fade where we've explained everything that's happened to her.
And she goes, wow, what a story.
And then Henry keeps talking.
Or alternate suggestion, we just don't go after Grant at all. Because if we don't have him, they can't take him.
I mean, yeah, as long as Grant is safe right now, I'm definitely okay with not finding Grant until we figure out how not to eat his skin and get that, deck of cards or whatever.
All right, great. Let's go home.
No, well, I mean, we don't know how to go home either.
Do we know that Grant is safe, though?
No, we don't. That's why we need to go to Meadowshade.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron says, as far as I know, the big contest that's going there, I'm remembering now, it didn't happen at night. It's for nights.
It's for nights, you say?
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I've never revealed this about myself, but I happen to have done some training for a little thing back on Earth called Medieval Times.
Oh, shit.
So if there's anyone who knows anything
Medieval Times.
I know lots of facts.
What color were you training for?
I would be happy to take any color. And
of course, of course.
But my favorite was the Green Knight, because...
Oh, the Green Knight's the best
green.
Knight. Yeah.
But so like
I know
tons of knight facts. I know tons of stuff about being a knight. I know all about the chivalry.
So you've taken
code.
Horseback riding lessons jousting?
They haven't let me on the horse yet. I have to go I've been trying to get out to there's a little stable by us, and I've been kind of how they let you walk around in the circle. I can almost do that without falling off the horse. So I'm pretty confident though about being able to manifest a knightly. I'm very excited about this. That's
well,
all I'm
good.
Saying.
We got our in to whatever's going on over there.
That'll definitely be useful, Henry, when we get there. And then, Aaron, any ideas about this dream world?
So they seem surprised that you were there. They weren't summoning you.
Yeah.
So apparently they have some sort of connection to you, which would also explain why they need you to be near the kids in order to, like, take them, basically. So it seems like there's some sort of arcanic, psychic, whatever the hell, magical. I don't know. I don't really have a specific language for this. Garden witches, we just kind of wing it. But it seems like you guys are connected in some way, and maybe they're connected to your kids as well. I don't know.
Henry, you want to try to go to sleep right now?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Let's watch Henry sleep, and let's just see. Maybe Henry just goes to sleep and see if he can hit them up again.
Okay, I am a morning person, so I'm a little worried about being able to get back to sleep.
Aaron, she says, like, I can just give you a thing if you want to just go to sleep.
Oh, sure, yeah. Do you have a potion of some sort?
Yeah, she just punches you in the head as hard as she can.
she goes, down I go.
But it tingles a little bit when she hits you. It doesn't actually do any damage, and then you fall asleep. And once again, you're back in the purple round.
Oh, shit.
And all three of the guys are like, again with this? But just you?
I thought you were a morning person.
Interesting. All right, I'm going to look around. I cast perception. Not cast. I roll for perception.
All right, go ahead.
What do I see?
You're going to roll with disadvantage because this is all foggy and shit.
It's a natural one.
Ooh, okay. So you see less than before. The window that they had that showed you where your kids were, that's disappeared. So all you see is the three guys now.
Okay, I start walking randomly around. Don't mind me, boys, just having a look around the place.
Don't do that. You're going to, like, step
into
stuff.
Isn't this interesting?
You feel yourself stumble across, like, a rock.
Ooh.
And then you walk a little bit more, and you feel yourself
well,
come
I
up against
I want to look at the rock.
Okay, well,
you, he's a geologist.
You
come on,
look
Anthony.
Down and see, but you
dream
can't.
Rocks. Like, a new form of rock. My God.
Because of the sound and the feel of it, you can tell it's a rock, but when you look down, like, you just see purple. It's like your sense of sight has been inhibited here.
It's like the hit movie Tomorrowland. When you're in one world, you're in one world.
You are going to have to explain to literally everyone.
Yeah, I don't know.
When she presses the pin, she can see Tomorrowland, but she's still in our world. So it's like having VR goggles on. So you're like this purple world.
I'm asleep in my world.
I know, but this purple world is hiding. Like, you're still walking around a real world, but you can't see anything because you're, like, seeing their purple world. So,
well,
like, you're
that's
like.
That's very interesting. Henry hears none of that.
Oh, yeah.
Henry goes,
Henry, it's like Tomorrowland.
Daryl, point of order, Daryl doesn't know what's going on. Daryl didn't go to sleep.
What do we see?
I don't know if Daryl saw Tomorrowland. I don't know if that's a very Daryl kind of movie.
I look at Henry, I'm like, you guys think he's okay?
Is he just sleeping?
Yeah, he's just, as far as you can tell, he's just sleeping.
Okay.
Interesting. I go, there's an illusion of a rock here. What manner of place is this?
It's a place with a rock, you fucking idiot. What are you, just wait the fuck
up. How interesting that I can walk around your realm whenever I want by going to sleep. Now, if you guys want me to leave, maybe you could tell me some more cool facts about your realm.
And he goes, or I could just do this. And he snaps his fingers and you wake back up.
They can kick us out, guys.
Hey,
there's a rock
Henry,
there, though.
What did you dream about?
I dreamt about the purple-robed men in their purple land, and I tripped on a rock, but then I couldn't find the rock.
You could
see
it?
I heard that means that your kids are missing. I don't know much about dream interpretation, but I read that that's what that means, is that your kids are missing in a foreign realm.
I think that and, like, a general anxiety about getting older. Which is, you know, I also have. But yeah, that's a pretty accurate dream, I guess.
So you were walking around and you hit a rock, but you couldn't see the rock. But it was like you were in a world, but you couldn't see the world.
Yeah, kind of.
It's a lot like this movie Tomorrowland. Have you guys seen that?
No, I missed
it's
Tomorrowland.
Not, it's not quite what I thought it was going to be. I love Disneyland, hence, you know, my little stint on Dilf, so Disneyland. And I was hoping that it would be a lot like a Tomorrowland, but it wasn't really. Not bad, though.
The movie
wasn't too bad.
Good.
Yeah, it was all right. Anyways, it sounds a lot like Tomorrowland.
All right. Well, we know that.
At least one intro coming up has to be Daryl's, like, movie reviews.
Ron does movie
reviews. Yeah, Ron does
already.
I do Ron's real reviews.
I forgot. Yeah, and the fucking Daddy Issues is very good.
For those of you wondering, Daddy Issues is a little PDF zine that the dads themselves write. That's on our Patreon.
It's all canon. It's all in-world.
Hang around or at the end of the episodes. We'll talk about the Patreon more. Anyway, sorry.
This episode brought to you by Patreon. Please subscribe.
This episode brought to you by Dungeons & Daddies.
Yeah, if you don't like Dungeons & Daddies, then there's a whole host of people on our Patreon that you can blame for the fact that we continue to do this because they financially support us.
If you want more episodes of us going to sleep and talking to three people and then going to sleep again, go ahead and go to the Patreon.
Your punishment for getting to listen to an episode where they finally did a dungeon is you get to listen to an episode where they try to find a dad for a kid and then an episode where they keep failing to fall asleep.
If you don't enjoy Dungeons and Daddies, try out our sister podcast, Dungeons and Daddies.
Let's go to Meadowshade, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, I think we should go check out this knight thing. It sounds like the purple-robed men, who I do not trust, for the record, but they seem to have a hot lead for us there, vis-a-vis rescuing Grant.
Did everybody eat up? Everybody went to the bathroom? Because once we start this thing, we're not stopping.
I went when I was asleep.
Good.
Oh.
Good. Is it,
I wasn't going to say anything, but then you asked.
Oh, do you need to clean up?
No, I'll just take off these pants.
Okay. Do you want some clean pants?
No, I've got plenty.
How are you? Are you taking off the outermost layer of pants?
Because that ain't going to help.
No, I'm just like sort of cutting a hole into the center of the earth, like another movie that's futuristic called The Core, starring Hilary
Swank. Oh, that's a great movie.
But yeah, I'll take off the outermost layer only and then just be in the wet pants, multiple pants.
Okay.
Not to embarrass you, Ron, but I would like to make sure that you change your pants before you get into our van, since you did go in the bathroom in your pants.
That was so deep in the pants, though. I've got at least 5 pairs of pants over that, like, you know.
So the other pants have reabsorbed it. You were completely dry.
Let me put it this way. I'm covered, bub.
All right. No worries. Daryl puts a towel on where Ron is going to sit. Everybody eat up. And,
you briefly realized as you put the towel down the last time you did this, it was because Peyton had peed or something like that, and his body reabsorbed it, and you didn't believe him. You put the towel down, so you think of Peyton briefly.
Daryl grabs some power bars, and he goes, guys, I miss Peyton. You guys all miss Peyton?
Let's go check on Peyton in this episode.
Wait, will you turn and you just barely drove out of town so you can literally see Peyton and he's like, hey!
Hey, Peyton!
Hi, guys.
Hey, we're going. We're going to go save my kid, man. I hope we're going to be back soon, though, bud.
Okay, good luck.
You have a good night? Your first night away?
It was okay.
Yeah?
I found weird when I yell because it's hard for Anthony to do the voice when he's yelling.
Oh, how was the bed? Hey, Walter, really quick, can you just make sure Payne's a really light sleeper? Just give him a good, just like, you know.
Daryl, they can figure it out. I like kind of pat Daryl on the back and
here,
turn
one
him
sec.
Around.
Hey, Glenn, can you give me a couple gold coins?
Daryl, just let it go. They gotta figure it out on their own.
No,
Daryl,
give me a couple gold coins.
Withdrawing from the old band bank. All right, here you go.
I take 4 gold coins and I sprint. Sprint all the way to Payton and I give him, he's like, hey, just make
it
sure
takes
you get a
73 seconds in real time.
I just give him
the
gold coin.
And the entire time you're doing it, Payton's like, should I come to you?
No, I need a good morning jog. I got to wake up anyways. Better than a cup of Joe, I tell you what. And then I give him the gold coins. I say, get him a nice bed and, you know, everything he needs. And I say, hey, mind if I get a hug before I go?
Payton's like, yeah, sure, man. No problem. He gives you a hug and he's like, ooh, you're sweaty. You weren't even running for that long. Oh, man.
And I spurt back. I go, guys, we got to get out of here. Otherwise, I'm never going on go.
Who is that guy?
I do want to say to the fellow dads, as we go on our journey, if we're going into a knight contest, you guys should all think about what your knight persona is. So a knight usually has a color. He has like an animal that he represents, you know, so think about like what your knight style is. And then usually a knight's all about like one big value, right? Like, so when I'm going to audition for Medieval Times, I'm going to say, I'm Henry the Green. My animal is 2 birds, Lark and Sparrow. And
my one animal is 2 birds.
My value is I am the knight of respect.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that sounds like a knight that's going to lose.
I feel like my value is, I don't know, about $15.
Do we gas up the minivan?
Well, somebody's got to compliment it.
Glenn, hey, why don't you compliment the minivan?
Oh, yeah, Aaron, before we go, hold on 1 second. Let me just top off the tank here. I open the gas tank and I whisper, Odyssey-san wa Sekaiichi no Kuruma desu yo, which translates to Odyssey-san is the number one car in the world.
The Odyssey goes, rung, 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 arigato! And then the engine turns over. So the Odyssey peels out of Meadowshade, flanked on either side by 2 small armies of trees, and Aaron O'Neill is being held in the arms of one of the trees, and it's running and actually keeping pace with the Odyssey. And you can see in the rearview mirror, Peyton and Walter the Immortal sort of waving you off, saying goodbye. And some dust kicks up, and then you don't see them anymore.
Probably quite a bit
around.
Of dust, as there's an army of trees alongside.
Yeah, it's the visibility is not great, but they let you lead a little bit so it doesn't completely obscure your view.
I'll consider it.
Whoever doesn't get car sick, if you could just like keep reading on, you know, see if there's anything besides that deck of cards, or, you know, I also ask Aaron if she can help out on
Aaron,
some research.
Is there any like big balls of twine or something on the way in?
I mean, that's not what I was asking. I was asking if she could research.
Aaron, do they have like a giant thermometer in this world?
See, in our world, there's a lot of cool roadside attractions whenever you go on a road trip. And, you know, it's like one of the best parts about doing road trips.
Yeah, I mean, there's a giant around here that can guess anybody's weight and the last person they slept with.
Whoa, what? Guy, okay.
Guys, you want to.
Daryl's just still driving.
Wait, guys. Guys, didn't we just sleep with each other?
I don't know if that's what the kind of sleeping he means, though.
That is not the kind of sleeping that he guesses.
I weigh a hearty 120 pounds, so I don't really need this giant.
Maybe we can, after we rescue everyone's sons, we can go visit the giant.
Is there like some alien jerky or something?
As you approach Metashade, you can see a road sign that says, hey, Metashade is, you know, directly in front of you. It's about 5 miles, but there is a Bullywugs rest stop, last place to meet up. M-E-A-D up before Meadowshade, and they sell.
We've seen like billboards for the last like 20 miles on the way in. It's like famous Bullywogs in just a little bit.
Yep, it's
Irma Shave.
It keeps counting down. And they say, we sell equipment for nights.
Oh, so it's like a whole. So it's like a rest stop, basically.
It's exactly a rest
stop.
It's
like a Flying J, if you will. Like there's a whole bunch of other stuff.
Well, boys, those purple robe guys said we should go here. Two, a good chance to. Rest up and get some night stuff probably. And also I would like to say, Aaron, if you could do us a favor. So I think this is what we should do, guys. I think every time we're about to go somewhere, I think Aaron needs to go in first and just do a whole grant check. Make sure there's no grant.
Oh, that's smart. That's
make
smart.
Sure there's no grant. So like we'll pull over and if you could just kind of, you know, float in there or do whatever you do.
How is she gonna know what Grant looks like?
Well, she saw the picture of him
sees the picture.
Oh, I was gonna draw a police sketch.
Ooh. I kind of want to see that.
Draw a police sketch and make it as interesting as possible if you were to say only be able to communicate what it looks like via audio.
I don't really remember what Grant looks like, but I'm going to give him sort of sandy brownish hair and I'm swiggling all the crayons around on his head. I'm going to do kind of an oval for the head and then two dots for the eyes, two beady little eyes, just like Daryl's. And then this big, long, curvy L backwards for the nose, and then kind of just a straight line, because I mean I don't think he's sad, but I don't know if he's happy here, because I do know he likes to play soccer. And then for the body, I'm just gonna do one line and then two lines for the arms and then two little lines that are kind of crooked for the legs, not just crooked so that you can see that they're two different legs. And that's what he looks like. Oh, I forgot the ears. That's okay though.
So Aaron, you could take both of these pictures.
Yeah.
Cause this is very good, Ron. Take both of them.
So yeah, Aaron takes both of them and she goes, so he could look like either of these things.
Yeah. If you see anybody who looks like either of those, let us know.
Okay, great. I'll be right back, I guess. And so she walks toward the Bullywugs, and you see that the Bullywugs is much bigger than the one you went to last time. Like, this one is a full-ass, it's like a full-ass rest stop. There's, you know, places to refuel your horses with food and water. And
with petrol.
With petrol or cheese. There's a bunch of souvenir shops sort of littering around. You see Aaron go in. After about 30 seconds, she comes out holding the hand of a horrifying stick figure man.
I knew it!
Who looks identical to Ron's drawing. And she goes, is this him?
Hey, Aaron, no, that's not Maybe. Him. Aaron, that's not him, but you misunderstood. Thank God you misunderstood the instructions. If you see Grant, the last thing you can do is show him to us.
Oh, okay. So
that's
so what
not Grant.
So what should I, this is not Grant.
No, the other picture is Grant.
So the guy goes, kill me.
Ron, you kill me. Ron, you drew that guy. You want to go meet him?
Yeah. Hey, Grant.
That's not my name.
Are you ready for the big game, buddy?
Oh, yes, I am. There's nothing I'd love more than the sweet release of death within the big game.
Terry says you're a pretty good striker. That's forward in soccer.
Who is that?
And
what is that?
Your teammate. And I'm actually kind of having doubts that you might be Grant, but
I am not Grant. That's not my name.
Oh, okay.
Ron, that's not Grant. And also, point of order, if that was Grant, for the last time, the last thing any of us, we all understand, right? What do we do if we think we see Grant?
Turn and run the other way.
Henry?
Call an adult. No, we turn and run the other. I know. Yeah.
Okay, Ron?
Close my eyes.
Good. And run in the opposite direction.
I can't run with my eyes closed.
Just do your best.
Okay. I love that this is setting up the moment we see Grant that Ron's going to go face first into a tree.
Well, I shake the stick of
it
the
screams when you touch his hand because you didn't put a hand on the end of it. It's just the stick, and you just the second you touch it, he's like, it's my raw nerves exposed to the elements.
What does a stick look like?
Dirty boy?
What do the sticks like? Are they just black? Do they look like skin? Like, what is this creature made out of?
They look like Vantablack. And, like, even if you walk around him, they remain, like, completely, like, flush with you. Like, when you're playing Doom and the sprites are always facing you. Or Mickey Mouse's ears always have that same silhouette. It's like that.
Huh.
So, hi. What are you? I'm just curious. We're learning about this realm.
I am the result of what happens when you piss off a dimensional witch. Whoa. She removed one of mine.
Whoa.
She removed one of your dimensions?
Uh-huh.
Whoa.
Yeah, sorry for disturbing you.
What's your name, sir? I put my hand out. Dara Wilson, nice to meet you.
So he recoils with his hands because he doesn't want you to touch them again. He says, my name is Vince. I was named that by Ryan.
Is that your dad?
Yep, my dad's name is Ryan.
Is he in three dimensions?
He comes from the land of Patreon.
Hey, Vince, have you seen anybody who looks exactly like you, except more of a photograph?
I've never seen anyone that looks exactly like me.
Also, thank you, Ryan, for giving us money so that you could put into a spreadsheet. I want you to name a character Vince. Vince is my favorite name.
Maybe that's like his best friend's name.
Well, he did say, it just by chance, he said years of heavy smoking has transformed his voice into more gravel than words. So, hey, it worked out. Congratulations, Ryan.
Why are you shaming our Patreon?
Because I think it's really funny.
Ryan, I appreciate you.
All right.
Oh, wow.
Good luck to you, Vince. We hope that you get cured from your dimensional witch curse and that you can join the third dimension once again.
Yeah, that makes two of us.
Do you eat?
Daryl, it's when you see someone different, they're just going about their day. You don't need to stop them and grill them with 10,000 questions.
Well, I just
want
to know if he's hungry. This guy seems like he's having a bad day.
You were literally asking if he, like, as a weird, okay, yeah, do you eat? Would you like to have lunch with us?
Oh, yeah, because you definitely said, do you eat, not did you eat?
I mean, I was just being colloquial. I was just like, you know, do you eat? Like, yo, do you eat? And then we'll sit down and eat if you're hungry.
Well, I know I ate. Every time I eat, it's extremely painful because when I jam the food in my mouth, it has to transfer from three-dimensional to two-dimensional so I can digest it, and it feels very weird going into my face.
I got something for you. I run back to the van and open it up, and I get some of my Soylent. I'm like, hey, here's a full meal. It doesn't taste great, I'll be honest, and you don't feel great, but it should be easier to go down than solid food. So, like, anybody else gonna have any of this? Otherwise, we could just give them all our Soylent.
All right, he tries to pour it into his mouth, and you see, as it hits the sort of boundary of his two-dimensional flesh, it like just turns into this weird. Actually kind of reminds you of the Doodler almost in a weird way. It just turns into this weird, like, two-dimensional slurry, and his body just starts to vibrate as if somebody's shaking the animation cell. His torso stick just begins to, like, bulge out a little bit, and he goes like, that's great. I mean, this tastes like nothing. That tastes like liquid bread. That's terrible. I don't know who would volunteer to have this. But, yeah, thanks. Thanks for that. That makes up for for you being kind of mean to me.
Oh, all right. Well, this was odd. Aaron, so just to clarify, you didn't see Grant, right? Hey, Vince, you can go on your way. Nice
yeah,
to
no, this
you.
This is the only guy I saw was Vince.
Yeah, I like that guy. Personality was a little flat, though.
Oh.
You get inspiration. Everybody else takes a D4.
Four.
Two. Ooh. Three.
Let's go to Bullywugs. Let's check it out.
So as you enter the Bullywugs, basically you see that it's... I'm going to once again refer to things in terms of a three-ring circus. you see another unfortunate foster children fighting arena. You see there's a guy next to a couple of speakers, by which I mean two goblins holding megaphones up to their mouths, and a turntable, by which I mean a table that can just rotate 180 degrees. And he's got, like, a cool hat on and a bunch of cards in front of him, and he's got white hair. And then you can see there's people playing darts. There's people playing what looks like pool, like billiards. And then on the wall, you can see a thing that says prizes. And there's a bunch of little items there. You can probably see more carefully if you get up close to them. And then at the far end of the rest stop, you see a large sign that says shuttles, four knights, two meadow shade. Get right to the action. Skip the line.
So this is like a kind of Chuck E. Cheese's situation.
It's very Chuck E. Cheese-esque.
It's very a golden saucer.
It's very golden saucer. It's extremely
what's
golden saucer.
It's from Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, sorry. Another
lots of stupid little mini games you could play and little prizes you can win. And Kate Sith
I
want to
just quickly take a look at the UFC cage, and I assume I don't see anybody with the spark and fire and power that Peyton had, Not even close.
You see people that are unquestionably better fighters, but they have the eyes of a marmot at best.
Ugh.
The eye of an ocelot if you're really stretched.
Ugh. You know, also, UFC fights have really gone downhill, let me tell you.
How far away was this place from where we just left?
It was 2 hours.
Guys, I really hope Payne doesn't hear about this place. Yeah.
That would have been the ultimate move, Anthony, as we go there. Payne's already.
I decided I didn't want to leave. People like me too much. I'd also like to just quickly remind everybody, just out of canon, that Chuck E. Cheese's canonical full name is Charles Entertainment Cheese, and that's maybe the best thing next
to... Is it Bullywogs or Bull E. Wogs?
Bull E. Wogs. My name is Bull Durham Entertainment Wogs.
I'm going to take a closer look at the prize wall.
So going up to the prize wall, you can see that they have point values on them. And you turn in a couple of points and you get some cool shit. One of the prizes that catches your eye is a magically imbued green transparent visor. And it has the inventor's name next to it, whose name is Carson Kelleher. Thank you, Carson. And it is called the Revisor. And it has a description that says, a magically imbued green transparent visor that allows the user to alter a spell alphabetically by swapping up to two letters with two new letters to change the meaning of its words. So, for example, you could take firebolt, replace the R and the E with S and H, and turn it into fishbolt, and then the user would fire off dozens of halberd at their foes, and you can use it once per rest.
Ooh, interesting.
Whoa. That one seems like you have to be smart to do it.
That's
so.
A lot of work.
That's an incredibly powerful item.
Yeah, it's very cool. There's another one that specifically calls out to you, Ron, and it was invented by Caitlin Marquard, which, what a fucking cool name. The Belt of Pants, which is a belt that creates illusory pants on the wearer, and the wearer can suppress the illusion at will.
Whoa.
Wait, so...
How many tokens?
Nobody seems to be going for that one because its use seems to be kind of limited, but for that one it says 2 tokens.
It's constantly like, it was 20 and it just
keeps getting
crossed out.
Yeah, there's a lot of cross outs and then it got down to 2.
Wait, so just to clarify, it just makes... You can put pants on, but nobody can see them if you don't want them.
No, it's holographic pants. They're not real pants. You can have no pants on, but you put this like belt on and it makes it seem like you have pants, but you don't. You're actually swinging.
To quote Kanye West, no one man should have all that power.
That just seems like a very, okay.
Well, of course, I'll be wearing my pants under the holographic pants. It's just
an extra layer.
Yeah.
But an imaginary layer.
Yeah, over your normal pants.
Okay.
I don't see what's so complicated about this. And then the final thing that you notice is invented by Johnny Stanton, and it is a grill. And it's called... that one especially grabs Daryl's attention. It's called the Kiss the Cook Grill Master. It is used by the best cooks in the realm, and the Kiss the Cook Grill Master has no peers when it comes to grilling meats and good eats. During a short or long rest, this item can be used to cook meat that must be hunted to receive 1d10 temporary hit points after the rest for everybody in your party.
Just Daryl had gotten the picture back from Aaron and was like getting ready to like start asking people if they've seen this kid, but then he saw the grill and it's like love at first sight. Like his eyes turn, his hand just goes into his pocket and puts the picture away. He's like, we got to play some motherfucking games.
How do we get tokens?
As you say that, the man in the white hair goes, well, my friends, some tokens, you say. If you come to Geralt of Trivia's Trivia Corner, then you might be very pleasantly surprised. Answer my questions 3 and many tokens you shall receive.
Geralt of Trivia, you say?
Yeah.
Hail and well met.
Hail and well met.
We are 4 adventurers in search of... it's all fun that there's a bunch of cool items and stuff, but we are looking for something called the Deck of Many Things because it could help us save our lost sons.
Ah, and he points to the sign of the shuttle 4 nights, and he says, the Deck of Many Things is the 3rd place prize in the competition.
And what are the 2nd and 1st place prizes?
1st place prize is a mystery. 2nd place prize is like a bunch of really just high quality armor and weapons and stuff that you get to sort of choose. You get a taste of the Dwarven King's armor. You get to take what it basically, the Nickelodeon toy run.
Oh my god.
I'm afraid we're not familiar with the Nickelodeon.
Well, what is the Nickelodeon toy run?
So Nickelodeon was a Dwarven smith back in the day. And for kids that were of a lower income strata, he would make a bunch of toys out of machinery. The number of them that you could beat in single combat, because they were sort of alive and would fight you, you got to collect all of their scrap, which was actually made out of really useful stuff of which you could buy toys. It was kind of a scam to get you to keep buying stuff at a shop.
Huh. If we get first place, can we choose the third place prize?
You could exchange for that, sure.
It's like a
What's
Kickstarter.
The fourth place prize?
You get to live. Knives.
Wait, you don't live?
You get to live.
You get to live. So basically, the way... Has anybody explained this competition for knights?
No.
For you guys? Okay. So yeah, you get teams of no more than five, and you go in, and depending on how you rank, if you get within the top five, you get to live. Anything below that, you get culled.
Mm. Culled?
What is culled?
Oh, just killed. It's just a nicer way of saying killed.
It's like slang.
Geralt of Trivia... What's your deal? Are you a wandering trivia knight? Like, what's your thing?
First thing you need to know about me is I'm infertile, so I can fuck whoever I want.
Tell me more.
Second thing you need to know about me is I love trivia. I have two different kinds of cards here. These cards are for monsters, and these cards are for the other kinds of monsters. Because I love asking people random questions about the world that they live in.
I've heard of these people. They call them a watcher.
God. Fuck.
Damn it.
Yeah, that's what I'm the watcher.
So really quick question, Geralt. When is this night event?
Nightfall. So Aaron's I was right. So it's four nights and it's at night.
Wait, I get it, yeah.
So like tonight?
They do one every night.
Oh, okay. We're going to have to enter this tournament, everybody, but like we should probably gear up.
Yeah.
So what do you do in this tournament?
Like, there's a little bit of combat. There's a little bit of thinking your way through stuff. There's a little bit of using your hands. It's a lot of everything. It's basically
arts and crafts.
It's the most entertaining thing for dwarves. Meadowshade is I'm assuming you haven't been to Meadowshade.
No.
You feel like you're out of downtown. Meadowshade was an old dwarven mine that the mine went dry. They had to find another way of bringing in the money. And so they came up with the contest.
Do we need to like dress up for this night thing or can we just
it's up to you. It's sort of your own style, whatever you want to bring into it.
Great. Okay.
Again, it is four nights. So a lot of people that go in will have a lot of armor and a lot of swords and, you know, really good protective stuff. But you don't have to. It's whatever your style is.
Can pretty much anyone say they're a knight and then they get in?
Sure. You're not going to have to, like, show your papers or anything.
How many tokens do we get for winning trivia?
It depends on how many questions in a row you get.
Wait, what's the most we could get? Is it enough to get everything we want?
Yeah, it's definitely enough to get everything you want.
Yeah, I say we get that grill and the pants, and you want the visor, Henry, probably?
Sure. I mean, I cast spells, so, you know, and I...
That makes
I
sense. Like, Glenn,
I'm pretty good at crosswords, so I feel like I could do a little bit of wordplay, you know?
Is there a fourth item? There's four of us, I'm just saying.
And he goes, oh, you want the secret other item. Geralt sort of pats himself down and goes, fourth thing. And he pulls out a pair of sunglasses that have in like Mark Jacobs font on the side, says Bryce Baker. Thank you, Bryce. He goes, these are the sunglasses of napping. If the dad falls asleep while wearing these radical sunglasses, you can wake up extra early, but you have to take a nap later to compensate.
Oh my gosh.
It allows a long rest to be taken over a 4-hour period instead of the usual 8-hour period.
Oh,
but
man.
The next time you long rest, you have to rest 4 hours longer to experience the benefits. And you have to constantly brag about how early you woke up that day.
Oh, gosh. I
love that.
I, Beth May, am wearing those sunglasses right now.
Geralt, let's... We'd like to take you on in your little trivia game, even though we know nothing about this realm. But you know what? I think we could bluff our way through it.
And there's no consequence for losing this trivia.
Yeah, let's
do
it.
How much does it cost?
10 gold.
All right. I plop 10 gold coins in front of Geralt.
So he takes the 10 gold coins. He goes, all right, so you have two choices. And he pulls out the silver deck of trivia questions. And then he pulls out the steel deck of trivia questions. And he goes, do you want the one for men or the one for monsters?
Ooh.
Wait, when you say four men and four monsters, are these trivia questions about men versus ones about monsters, or...
That's the first question? That's the first trivia question.
I think we should take...
Let's take the men.
The men deck?
Yeah.
I mean, we're men.
We're men.
You know, we're people. Can we say we're people? I don't, you know...
Are you a man, Henry?
Yeah, but like, I feel like I'm more than my gender. I'm a person. So.
I'm only my gender. There's nothing beyond it.
We'll take the men deck.
All right, sounds good. So he puts down the other deck, and he goes, so thematically, these questions are about, I don't know if you all keep up with current affairs with the news, but there are some, invaders from another world that came in and have been cutting a swath of destruction across Faerun. So this is sort of, it's all about them. Huh. So the first question is...
Hey, Aaron, you better be listening up.
Aaron's like, I don't... care about any of it. Yeah, sure, I'll listen. Sure,
she's
why not?
Elbow deep in a bucket of wings.
Yeah, she's just she's like, these are so fucking good. Why would anyone ever eat salad? Okay, so the first question is, and this question was asked by Scott McLaughlin.
Who was the first person the dads spoke to upon arriving in the Forgotten Realms, and what did those dads do to them?
Well, it was, it wasn't CERN. It was the...
We mugged him, whoever he was.
Yeah, we hit them with a car. It was the numbers. It was the various numbers. It was the number people.
Oh, it was, yeah, it was number...
Three, right?
Number three.
I think it was the first one we actually talked to. The other ones we just killed. Three got killed by the Lance later.
So, yes, correct. It was three was the first person they talked to, and he was executed by the Lance. All right, next question.
Good job, guys.
How many tokens?
That's one token.
One token, all right.
He flicks a token at you with his thumb.
Catch it, and I toss it to Ron.
I miss it. Then I pick it up.
Next question. In the town of Neverwinter, there were two sons that pretended to be the Lord of Chaos. Which one of the two sons ended his experience in Neverwinter wanting to be a love wolf?
Henry.
Henry, this is yours.
And do not look at your notes.
I feel like it was Sparrow.
Oh boy! Oh boy!
Whoever went up the elevator.
Can I do a memory? No, I can't.
No,
right?
No. Use your human.
Can I
will
phone a friend?
We phone Beth.
You want to phone Beth? I don't know why she would know anything about this.
I don't think Beth would know.
Oh, those two boys are always up to their hijinks, and it's so hard to tell them apart sometimes.
Yeah. See, even he can't tell.
Okay, I'm pretty sure it was Sparrow.
Is that your final answer? Are you sure?
It was Lark.
Lark, Love Wolf, L, right?
All right. Geralt goes, it was Sparrow.
No!
You guys don't ever watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? That's always the trick when they ask for the final answer.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. So you're back down to whatever the next one is. You only get one token for it because your streak is broken. So sorry about that.
Sorry, guys. I really blew. Don't tell my boys. Don't tell my boys. I never hear the end of it when that happens.
I'll tell Sparrow and then call him Lark.
So Nicole Milan suggested this next question. In the Forest of the Water Mice, they sell many flowers that do different hallucinogenic things.
Damn.
What do the purple flowers do?
Oh, fuck off.
Nicole, why you gotta do
Nicole,
us like this?
Do me dirty. God, that was so many.
Also, all the people who submitted questions did not provide the answer, so I was like, God damn it.
Oh man.
Purple was.
That's like purple flowers.
Blue was floating, I thought.
Oh, was blue floating?
Okay. Yeah.
I was gonna say floating, so.
Was purple nausea?
Glenn, you were the one that was. I mean, you packed.
Doesn't it make you like fall asleep or something?
Wait, don't we still have a couple of those flowers in the backpack? Don't we? Don't we have some in the van?
No, I think Daryl made
definitely
in the van. You can't just get up and leave a trivia night, go someplace and get the answer and come back though.
Yeah, I feel like purple was nausea.
It was either nausea or
upset stomach, indigestion, diarrhea.
Coffee stuff.
Glenn, you're a drug dealer. You.
I think
you
red
the
was the. I think red was make you.
Red
make
was
you
uppers.
Red, so red was
make you forget
meth,
the last.
Basically, it was the one that screwed you up. Blue was like,
floating.
I'm gonna go with nausea.
Nausea. So he points at Daryl and he goes, "Unfortunately, you should have listened to him. It was levitating."
Damn,
Daryl, you just answered these. Fuck.
It's a shame.
If we get two tokens, we're getting that grill, everybody.
This is the last question, unfortunately. So when the dads went to their first town, they lied to a tavern owner and said they would deliver her a certain number of barrels of beer.
Oh, shit.
Do you remember how many barrels they promised?
It was either like 9 or 13.
It was like 8? I'll
give you a hint. It was double digits and it's less than 20.
Okay.
I think it was 13.
I mean, you're the businessman, Ron. You put that deal together.
Daryl, I wish I had that much faith. I think it was 13.
Is that Beth saying that or Ron saying that?
It's Beth saying it, and then Ron is like, I think it was 13.
I agree, Ron. I think 13 sounds about right.
I love your confidence. It was 15 barrels.
No!
I'm sorry. I am sorry.
I feel a little bad now that we never gave her those barrels.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
geez.
She feels bad about it, too. That's why I know about it. Wait, are you the guys?
No.
I said we would theoretically feel like she got stiffed by those jackasses.
Yeah, we heard about it secondhand, which is why we thought it was 13 and not 15.
Actually,
it's
now that you bring
somebody choose.
Actually, sir, I have a question. Hi, Daryl Wilson. Nice to meet you. We just met.
You're Daryl Wilson.
No. Yeah.
Daryl Wilson was one of the dads. You're the dads.
These trivia questions are rather specific to us. You're saying if somebody else were to do this trivia game, these would have been the questions you would have asked
them? It's a current events thing about the path of destruction we've been weaving across this realm. So,
NDR's been talking about it.
Oh. So we're pretty famous.
What's in the monsters deck?
Honestly,
I knew you were going to go for the man deck. I always have the monster deck as an option, but that's just a feint. If you had said that, I would ask you the same question and been like, these guys are monsters, huh? It's a thing where you make it seem like you're doing more work than you do as prep, but you really only have the one thing.
Well, we got one token.
Well, we have a token. Geralt of Trivia.
Can I get an autograph from the dads? Actually, you know what? Since you guys are the dads, I feel like I'll give you an extra token.
That'd be great.
How much was the grill again?
The grill's 4 tokens.
Ha!
The pants are 2. The pants are 2 tokens. The grill is 4 tokens. The sunglasses are 2 tokens. And the visor is 5 tokens.
Well, so Ron, looks like your dream came true today.
What if I go for the sunglasses? No, I wouldn't. Yes, I would like one pair of pants. Holographic, please.
The orc teen at the desk with all the prizes goes, holy shit, somebody actually got the stupid pants that don't do anything. All right, congratulations. And he hands you the belt.
Thanks.
Hey, so what's your name?
My name is Orc, O-R-K.
Hey, so we're
I was named that by Nadia Willis.
Just Orc?
Yeah, O-R-K.
It'd be like me calling someone human, right?
Hey, man, don't punk on the guy's name. He's probably got a lot of issues about it.
Definitely make fun of the guy who's working at a Bullywugs instead of following my dreams of being a magician / juggler. But no, I'm the one you want to dunk on.
You're a magician / juggler? Can you show me a cool trick?
All right, he fans a deck of cards in front of you. Pick a card. Pick any card.
I pick a card. It's the Jack of Spades.
All right, put it back in the deck.
Okay.
So he shuffles the deck, and he goes, so there's no way I can know your card, right?
No way.
And then he casts Read Mind on you, and it fails. And he goes, I have no idea what your card is.
He's still working on that one.
Still working on it.
Hey, Orc, nice to meet you. My name is Daryl Wilson. How you doing, buddy? I reach out and
I mean, not great, but...
We don't have a lot of time. We know the tokens are essentially just, you know, I get it. You're doing your job. Is there a way that we could get this grill and these sunglasses and stuff without going through this whole hassle?
Oh, yeah. If you wanted to bribe me, I'd be super down for that.
Oh, well, that's easy. Hey, tell me what we got.
Oh, we can autograph something for him.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're so famous.
Yeah, good idea. Ron, why don't you tell him how famous you are?
Hey, this is Ron. Ron Stampler.
Of Hi, I'm Ron.
Oh, the singer?
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, shit. Can I open for you?
Yes, Ron.
Like a door or?
No, like the orc hour of excitement where I juggle, I tell jokes, I do magic.
Hey, listen, Orc, I've only got 15 minutes of material, so I don't know if I want an hour opener. But you could get a selfie with me.
What is a selfie?
It's when you stop a celebrity on the street, and then you make them take a couple pictures of you and them, and then they're all blurry.
Roll a persuasion.
Natural 20.
Yes!
He goes, there's nothing I would like more. Bring it in.
I like the idea that there's like the Bullywogs painter is like on the corner, like kind of rushes over with an easel to quickly paint this portrait.
Oh, yeah. It's a goblin. He goes, somebody call for a selfie. And he quickly brings up the easel, but it's like an old timey camera where there's like a curtain and he goes like, leave me to my work. And he like puts it over his head.
But he has to be facing like behind us or something.
Exactly. It's a weird thing where it's like reflect. There's a mirror and he's like facing away from you, but looking back at you, he goes, pose and hold that pose for exactly 35 minutes. And then he just paints it and gives it back to you. And it's not good. It's
oh,
very
blurry.
I don't
like my smile.
I'll do another one. And he starts painting. It takes another 35 minutes.
Anything for a fan.
And then he gives it to Orc, and Orc is like, oh my god, this is amazing. Nobody's gonna believe I'm friends with the famous outlaw / crooner Ron Stampler.
Well, just tell my story, kiddo. I don't know what it is yet.
So can we take the items, those items
now? Oh, yeah, you can have one of them.
I think the grill is gonna be the most useful for all of us as a group.
I mean, I'll make meat for everybody, you know. Or, you know, I'll grow some veggies for you, Henry.
You know what? Fucking have them all. I don't even give a shit. Those items are cool. I feel like it'll add to your story if you have them.
Oh, thanks, Orc.
I just so you know that I did slightly press the silent alarm because that's what we're supposed to do if we see the dads.
It takes 70 minutes for you guys gotta get a better silent alarm there,
yeah,
son.
Yeah, no, they come all the way from Waterdeep. It's a whole thing. At any point at the silent alarm and it's just a guy with his mouth, I'm going
It's actually a very quiet bird. Yeah, it just has to make a round trip.
Operates on a very high frequency. And then somewhere in Waterdeep, another bird's going,
oh, geez. Guys, we might need a skedaddle here. Hey, Aaron.
Yeah, what's up?
How are those wings?
Oh, my God. They're so fucking good.
How many did you have? You were kind of there. We've been here over an hour.
It's all you can eat, right? It's all you can eat. And the guy's like, absolutely not. And he goes like, oh, I might have to bounce. I don't know.
Hey, we
When's the next shuttle to the night thing?
Well, it's at dawn, so a couple hours, I guess.
But there's like cops coming for us. There's like bad
guys.
Yeah,
but like it'll take about a day. Like if you wanted to go, it's a whole thing. They're very slow. That's why I didn't feel so bad pressing the alarm.
How often do you get robbed, Orc?
Oh no, this is not for getting robbed. This is literally just if we see the dads.
Oh,
do you have a different silent alarm for when you get robbed?
No, we just let it happen. Like this corporate says you should just let, don't try to stop them in any way. Cause if I get hurt, then they're held liable.
Huh?
It's kind of more to protect them than to protect me.
Well,
Orc, it's been good talking to you, buddy.
Yeah, no, it's been great. It's been great meeting all of you. Sorry I called the pose on you, but,
good luck with your magic. Now we're going to do a magic trick and disappear. Hey. Maybe. I don't know. We might hang around and do some darts or something.
Okay, cool.
So yeah. Is this grill propane, coal? What are we looking at here?
It operates off of thought.
Oh, that's the one thing I don't know how to cook with.
Well, I've got some pretty hot thoughts.
You gotta think about something that frustrates you, and the frustration causes a spark.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good. Daryl can definitely handle that.
So it's powered by hot takes. You'll just say a hot take to the grill, yeah. And then the grill fires up.
Say an opinion that's like slightly controversial, but not really. It's kind of more about you having the opinion than the opinion itself, and it'll turn it right on.
This seems like a dangerous grill for Daryl to have, everybody.
The more racially charged, the better.
I think we got it. Guys, wait, hold on. Hey, Orc.
Yeah.
You said you knew about us. What do they know about us?
So the story going around that's been sort of the scuttlebutt is that four very bad dads, sorry, this is their words, not mine, very horrible dads appeared in our world. Their kids ran away because the dads were so bad, and they've been killing a swath across the country trying to get their
kids
back.
They talk anything about our mode of transportation?
Yeah, they say they're in a big metal beast.
Shit. Guys. Odyssey-san's been made. We might need to take the shuttle here to go in order to remain incognito.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I assume we were going to take the shuttle. It seems nice that they have a shuttle for the night.
Well, I mean, the
I like that Henry's reason is like, well, it's carpooling, clearly.
It's carpooling. It saves on gas.
It's just the thing is, if you do leave your van here, the cops are on their way here, and then you'll be in the thing, and your van, so they'll just be waiting for you, or they'll impound the beast.
Yeah, we're not leaving this van, Glenn.
No. Or Shinji, whatever its name is. It says Shinji on the side, so yeah, they'll imprison Shinji.
Maybe they'll arrest Shinji instead of the van.
That's a theory.
Guys, just as a thought, by the way, if we ever get in a bit of heat, we're pinning this all on Shinji.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, guys. I mean, we got these cool items.
Sounds like we should go to the van.
Hey, is there an employee feedback form type of thing?
Yeah, right over there. And it's a guy with his shirt off. He has a tattoo on his back that says feedback here. And he's just bent over and he's got a dagger in his hand.
I'd like to approach this. Like, hey, how's this work?
He hands you the dagger and he goes, carve your feedback.
Okay. Oh.
Can't we just write it on like a slip or something? It feels like this is going to hurt you quite
Slips
a bit.
Slips get lost. I do not.
What does it say on his back so far?
It says, this feedback system is really weird. I don't like it.
Somebody carved that into your back?
Yeah.
How do you feel about your job? Is this, are you okay with this?
I love it.
Oh, okay.
Glenn leaves a plus, 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 a lot of pluses
yes,
on there.
Yes.
For Orc. Like, great service from Orc.
This will be heard by management.
Ron carves, great service by Orc. The atmosphere can use some work. Fun for the whole family. 2 stars.
Is this so when we carve our opinions at your back, it seems like it might be pretty painful. So do you yelp when we do that?
I do. Why is everyone groaning? That's what I do.
Do you Google review too?
You yelp me. I yelp so hard at Google.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
It's sad. Orc says, also, if you wanted to get some books to study for the big game, the library is here.
Wait, what?
Yeah, we got a lot. He's got a big tower of books. He's in the outback. He's gonna set up a little book fair for himself for the kids.
They let the library be around children?
Yeah. Reading is fundamental.
Oh, man. Oh. Wow, this is a rough world. Okay. Dad Huddle. Aaron,
Orc
get in
walks
here.
In and
Aaron.
He goes, oh, Dad, sorry. Sorry. I felt like I was one of the gang. All right.
Wait, you can stay around.
You can listen. You might be helpful.
Oh, hell yeah.
He's not really a dad, though.
No, he's not.
But no, I am.
Oh, you have a kid?
Uh-huh.
Oh, what's your kid's name?
So my wife, Emster, she named our son Coconut Mama.
Coconut. That's beautiful. I love that.
Mm-hmm. It's a family name.
Coconut Mama. I didn't know they had coconuts here.
What?
Never mind. The library's here. We're overdue on our books now, right?
No, we're not overdue.
No, you're not overdue. You just don't have them.
Just don't have them.
If you guys run into the library, don't tell him that we burned the books. Because I feel like if he knows the books have been destroyed, then he's going to be mad.
So is our plan to hopefully maybe get out of this whole world before the books are due?
I mean...
And we'll be home by dinner.
Hey, Aaron.
Yeah.
Aaron, into the dad huddle.
Oh, yeah. What's up?
Hey, the library is here.
Oh. Shit.
How easy is it to kill him?
As far as I can tell, it's extremely difficult. He has
but
the...
But let me ask you this.
Does he have any books on how to kill him?
Oh, that's an interesting question. He has books on every single conceivable thought and idea, so yeah, I guess
maybe
he
has a book on how to get out of your library fees. And then we don't have to kill
like a
him.
Scam school, like
that's clever.
Wait, here's an idea. Yeah, okay.
There are rumors that he's related to Scam Likely, so that could be something. But as far as I could tell, so in this world, we sort of as a group sort of arbitrarily sort of attach challenge ratings to people arbitrarily.
Oh God Almighty!
Oh boy, so that's advantage for you and a D4 of damage for everybody else.
Ooh, full four.
Four damage. Good grief.
That's a three.
You'll be fine. This is how you're all gonna
die.
I'm
about to grill, baby. It's just an excuse to grill.
So in this world, we do a thing where we arbitrarily assign like challenge ratings to things to show like how dangerous they are and how hard they are to kill. And this guy is up there. He's like a 10.
More or less than the vampire we destroyed.
He's less.
Definitely less.
And we killed that guy without a freaking delicious steak right beforehand. And let me say this.
Freddy Wong here. How much time do we have left until the books are overdue?
2 weeks. Like you guys spent so little time in that village.
Guys. I know that whatever's up ahead here, there's probably going to be a tournament of sorts. We'll probably level up before then, which will make the fight easier for us. I don't know if we should, as Glenn, I don't know if we should confront him now. We can run out the clock a little bit and try and get a lay of the land first.
I would like to see if the library has a book on how to get out of library fees.
Let's ask the library, because you guys have told me, I've had some whisperings in my ears that I haven't been paying attention and not getting the correct book I need for helping out at this blood pack. And we got a good solution, but maybe there's a book in there that will, maybe we should finally ask about, you know, if there's something to get us out of blood packs.
If we check out more books, and the deadline for those books is even further, he can't kill us for the first books because then he'll never get the other books back.
Ah.
Wait a minute, you're right. It'll be a perpetual state.
We just have to keep racking up more debt.
This is like when one of my friends continued to take classes at a local community college to delay his need to pay back his student loans.
It's exactly... Did you guys ever see the movie The Big Short?
Yeah, I didn't get it.
I would like to go visit the library and see if we can get the answer
to
some of these questions.
We can
might have the red badge of courage, too.
Okay, so you head out back.
It's like a Scholastic book fair.
It is exactly like a Scholastic book fair. So inside of a big sort of carriage, you see it's almost like, you know, like an old Scholastic book truck. I guess now it would be more like a food truck to kids. You see the library leaning out of a window going, books, books, books for anybody, for any age, any occasion, and any subject. And there are a bunch of kids running around going, yay! And they're getting like shitty novelizations of their favorite plays that they saw that are just like slightly different, but like they're like, I'm reading!
And just comic books, just like all
a lot
the
of comic
hops,
books
yeah.
and pictures. He goes, these aren't really art, but like, go ahead, I guess, as long as it gets you reading and away from those blood sports. Almost said phones, thought better of it.
If they read enough books, do they get a coupon for a personal pan pizza?
He's a spool of coupons next to him that say like one free personal pan pizza at Bullywugs. And one guy comes up and he's got like a little board game and you had to fill in all the spaces. He goes, look, I got Faffy the Dragon all the way across with all the books that I read. He goes, oh, a pizza for you, and he rips off one and hands it to him. And he goes, I love my job. Knowledge, knowledge, knowledge.
I turn to the guys. I'm like, guys, we can't kill him. This guy's such a beautiful beacon of knowledge and learning in this world.
Yeah, I'm so conflicted because he's getting kids to read, and I'm all about that.
How many kids do you think he's killed, though?
Well, I guess that's true. I mean, it's kind of like the internet in our world, where it is both something that has really brought the world together, but it's also tearing it apart.
See, I don't know about you, but I feel like there's no scale. Like, how many good things does he need to do to balance out that whole killing kids thing? I feel like it's all bad. He's all bad.
But we don't know if he's killed kids.
Are you saying there's not a single kid on this planet that we're on that didn't forget a book or lost a book at some point?
As you say that, you hear him go, "And don't forget to bring it back on time or I'll skin you and eat you alive." And I've done it. That's not rhetoric.
Hello, Mr. Library.
Oh, my old friends, you four. Never gotten to know your names, but how are my books? How are they doing?
Oh, they're wonderful.
They're great.
We love them so much that we're looking at, you know, maybe expanding out the old library or doing some more reading.
Somebody choose to roll deception for saying that they're going great.
I have the plus 6 on deception, so I'll do that.
Yes.
17.
Okay, so he's going to roll perception. He believes you. He goes, it always warms the cockles of my what would be a heart if it were there to hear that my books are being taken care of. What brings you back? Have you come to return them? Of course.
Oh, we're still working our way through them. We're still enjoying them. You know, we're giving them a second read just to make sure we really learn, soak it up.
Yeah, we're doing a round table. We each read a few of them. And
a
now
book
we're
club.
Yes, a book club. Club. So we're not all done with all of them yet.
It took us a long time to find Bookmark. So now that we can finally...
You've met Bookmark!
Yeah, swell... guy.
Yep, she's a girl. Girls can be named Mark.
I love
Tell
her.
Tell me more about what you love about Bookmark.
She really keeps track of where I am emotionally.
Oh, she's very good at that. Yes, yes, yes. Roll deception.
15.
Yeah, that's exactly what she does. real emotional support, Bookmark is.
And that's it.
All right. That's fair. We don't have to talk about her again. Hey, so, sir, what brings you here? Yes.
So, well, you were in the market for two books.
Two.
For one, we were wondering if you have any books that might help someone get out of a blood pact, like that they got into.
Ooh, of a blood pact. Let me see. Let me see.
We'll help if you have specifics. I have the copy of the blood pact right here.
Oh, that would be wonderful. And you take out the blood pact from your wallet, and the muffled noise of Grant's image screaming in it. Turns into as you unfold it. And
I put my fingers in my ears so I can't hear it.
The library looks at it and it goes like, "Ooh, this is a doozy. You fucked this up right good." let me check our inventory. And he grabs the sides of his mouth and just begins to pull like wide open.
What?
And
oh my gosh.
The mouth stays the way that it is once he lets go of it. It's just like this massive fucking mouth now. And then he reaches in with his both arms that like seem to get longer and like develop new elbows like a fucking cockroach. And he just like just is scrounging around inside of himself and you see his belly moving and shit.
God.
And he pulls out a book that says Dark Pacts and How to Break Them. And he slams it on the table, and a bunch of slime comes off from it. This ought to do the trick.
All right. Well, yeah, we'd love to check this out.
Okay. Since you already have some books checked out, I will need something as collateral.
Oh, that's right.
Like what?
Like, a hand.
Any hand?
Like one of yours.
One of my hands.
You'll get it back when the book comes back.
Well, but will we get it reattached?
Of course.
It's not just going to be a decomposing hand.
No. I'm not a monster. No, I'll give you the hand back in its original shape. I'll just magically remove it and magically put it back.
Dad Huddle. We need to decide which of us would look coolest with a hook for a hand.
I mean, definitely Glenn, but I don't think any of us should be giving up a hand.
I need
hand.
Both of my hands, man. Well, these are my moneymakers.
I'll say this.
My riff machines.
Question, Mr. Library.
Yes.
Do we have to return all our books to get our hand back or just the ones we checked out for this deal?
Just the ones you checked out for this deal.
Okay, so
we'll just read it and give it back.
We can read it and get it back, and then you get your hand back afterwards. So I don't see what's so wrong with that.
What do you mean, your hand?
Does it hurt when you take it off?
Oh, very much so.
Okay, so there is one more book we'd like to check out.
Okay.
We're doing research for a story that we're writing.
I love stories.
It's actually like a sort of pro-library story, because it's about someone who checks out books and then doesn't return them.
And then tries
to run a scam whereby he's going to try to hoodwink the library that he rented them from.
Cautionary tale.
So we were wondering if you, just for research purposes, had any books on how to get out of paying your library fees.
All right, roll persuasion.
I got an 18.
He goes, "Ooh, always happy to help with a little cautionary tale for the kiddies. I got to keep you kids in line," he says, like looking at the little kids. And they're like,
bad. He's like, yeah, the screaming won't be pretend when if you. yes, let me get out the library bylaws. And then he stares at you like blankly for a second, and then he just jams his entire hand up his nose, and he goes, oh, and grabs something. There's like a crunching noise. It's very Total Recall. And then he fucking pulls it out, wipes the schmutz off of it, and it's a pamphlet. And he hands it to you, and it says the rules of the library.
Okay. All right. So, Daryl, give him your hand so we can check these books out.
One hand. My hand should be good enough for both these books, right?
All right. So he puts out his hand. And he goes, why don't you give me a shake? Let me be the judge.
Bust my hand out, and I grab it and give him a firm handshake.
We're going to do opposing strength checks.
That is 17.
You crush the bones in his hand. And, like, not just that, but, like, his hand is, the skin of it is a lot softer than you expected.
Moisturizes.
So, it, like, kind of just, like, some of the skin just slides off of his fingers while you're, and just, like, blood shoots out of the knuckles. And it goes, like, ooh, good boy. Good, strong boy.
Sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you there, buddy.
Oh, no, it was great. It was very impressive. Yes, I will take just one of your hands, then.
We'll get it right back, Daryl. It's going
to
be fine.
So easy for you to say, Henry. But, look, whatever needs to happen for Grant. All right, I put my left hand out.
All and right, then you shake it all about.
All right, you might not want to look while I do this.
I stare at my hand.
All right. He leans over and goes, oh. And his tongue comes out and slowly curls around your hand and then just constricts. God. And he goes, again, I told you not to look. This is going to be very
bad. Why are you
bad.
Talking to me while you do
I
this?
I just wanted you to know. And then it starts like rotating like a fucking chain in a chainsaw. And it just goes, and then it just starts fucking rotating around your hand so hard, and the friction of his sandpapery tongue just like fucking grinds through your,
wrist. I start vomiting at him.
He goes, that's what I thought. That makes sense. And the vomit's just hitting his face because you're looking at him. This is horrible.
This is so bad.
Somebody
hold my hand. My other hand.
I hold Daryl's other hand. It's going to be okay, buddy. Just hang on.
And then you feel your hand just getting less and less worn away by his tongue. And then eventually, mercifully, after, you know, far too long, there is a sickening crack and then a sickening thump as your hand hits the ground. The library goes, whoo. And he wipes you off of his tongue, and he goes, that was an ordeal. That is one of the meatiest wrists I've seen in quite some time, my boy. And he picks up the hand and then goes down the hole and then flicks it into the air and then opens up his gullet again and just whoomp and goes right into his stomach. He goes, I'll keep it there for safekeeping until you bring the book back.
Way to take one for the team, Daryl. Give
Thanks,
the man
dude.
A hand.
Oh my God, are you okay?
All right.
Daryl passes out before he heard that.
Every gets D4.
I take 2 damage as I heard that.
Let's prop Daryl up so that when he wakes up, he doesn't, you know, like swallow his tongue in his sleep or something.
Put him in the recovery pose.
Yeah, put him in the recovery pose. Is the wound like, is it just bleeding profusely? Is it cauterized?
It is cauterized. Okay. So no bleeding. It's just, it looks mangled and nasty, but there's no blood that you can tell. It's just like there's flaps of skin going in there. It's like, it's a whole thing.
Okay.
I start waking up.
Okay, Daryl, don't look at your hand, okay? Just look over there. Look over there.
I had this crazy dream where I threw a football to you, Henry. Mm-hmm. I like reach back and I see my hand and I pass out again.
You're like Niall seeing blood.
Yep.
Why don't you guys pour through the book about the pact and I'll read this library pamphlet and then we can get Daryl's hand back.
I'm not the strongest reader, just so you know.
That's okay. If you win, just, you know, anything that leaps out at you, just, you know, just say it out loud.
The blood pact. And you.
Okay.
That's one page down.
One page down.
Reading the pamphlet about the library, you can see that if you can make the library guilty of any killable crimes in his own eyes, so basically if you can make him fail to return a book on time or destroy a book or any of those kinds of things, then he'll be equally guilty of carrying out that punishment and he'll have to do it to himself. So he'll have to rip off and eat his own skin.
Ooh.
But in the eons that he's existed, nobody's ever managed to... That's never happened because he loves books so much.
So if we get him to destroy one of his own books, he will...
He'll have to punish himself by the rules that he adheres to.
Okay.
So that's the big loophole that you find.
Mm-hmm.
In the book about blood packs... So there's one other way of getting out of the blood pack, which is that if the victim of the blood pack... If their inherent nature changes, either their moral alignment or their physical species or like status
then they can no longer be the object of the curse. So if Grant got turned into another creature, transmogrified into something else, or, you know, turned completely evil so that his inner nature would change or whatever, then he would be essentially a different person.
What if we get him from like chaotic good to lawful good?
That's not enough. It's got to be pure good to evil.
What if he went through puberty?
Oh, that's interesting.
What if he became a man?
That's actually really good. If you can make him a man within 24 hours of meeting him.
This sounds like a really bad 80s raunchy
you never
comedy.
Fucked a goat? Road trip.
Road trip.
It's a 5-second.
Panama starts playing. Yeah. Bench, bench.
What if we show him a bunch of like men's rights activist videos on YouTube?
Yeah, if we turn him into an incel.
If you did that, that would definitely change who he is. A player. You can
Daryl's
tell,
not
going
to let that happen.
Yeah, from what you know of Grant, he is generally a nice kid. He's not.
What if we turn him into like a gopher and then turn him back into Grant?
Then the second he comes back into Grant, the pact reactivates. Unless you can get any of the other things to happen in the meantime.
Looks like we're going to have to use this deck of cards, everybody. Hey, we're done with these books. Can I have my hand back?
Oh, already?
I mean, do we need anything else?
No, I think we got everything we needed from the books.
All right, well, let me warm up the old let me warm up the old tongue lash again.
I'm not going to look this time.
he goes, good idea. He vomits your hand back out.
Is it like a couple of hands comes out and he has to find Daryl?
He goes, which one is yours? Which one of these? Is it the one with the ring? Is it the one with the long nails? Which one? Daryl, tell me which one you want.
How well do you actually know the back of your hand?
I know my wedding ring. It's that one. I'm sad I didn't take it off before.
I shake it to see if it feels familiar.
Hey, how does that shake feel there, Ron?
Not as strong as it normally does.
So he grabs the hand that is your hand and just sort of jams it into the stump. Again, do not look. And his tongue comes out again, but now instead of being like thin and sandpapery, it's like a beaver's tail. And he just like pats the top of the fucking hand of the thing. And like your hand and the stump kind of almost act like clay. And you can see them just like sort of smooshing into one another.
God.
And he's like, pop, 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 pop. And he does it under your hand or whatever. And then he gives it a little kiss. And then it's good as new.
It's just backwards.
The thumb's the other way. He's like, you can make that work, right?
No, fix it.
All right, fine. And he
look away again.
He just breaks it and reattaches it. And it's fine again.
All right. Just so everybody knows, Anthony was like making tongue motions when he was doing that too, which is very disturbing.
Well.
So that's a crazy thing we did that has no lasting consequences.
Well, I suppose we should sally forth and...
We need to get the heat away from us as we're doing this tournament here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they're going to be coming here. So what better way of making them think like we've skedaddled than if we drove off and then like, you know, hit it well. And then they'll be looking for us not at this tournament.
Oh, so like we drive off in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And then we hide the van. We come back. We go into the shuttle into town.
Aaron can give us a ride on the trees or something, and we can hide
and
it.
And I can cover you use some.
Oh
use
yeah,
some,
some of the trees can
the,
probably glamour the van.
A little tree garage for the van.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's what we do.
So you just do that. It's easy. It doesn't. Nothing about that involves roles because it's all your friends working together and stuff. So that's
cool.
Do
we meet any fun characters that we can ask their whole backstory?
Yeah, they'll be in a side episode. It'll be in a I can't remember what animes call it when it's like a parallel episode that's not related that you come back to later, like Gaiden or something.
We actually just ran into that BDSM woman, and if we get another 2,000 Patreons, we'll do another BDSM
episode. Yeah, just do another BDSM episode. The snake that you rescued from that one jail is there. He's real fun. You see Gar talk again. It's a whole thing. So you get on the shuttle?
Yeah, so we hide. So we've hidden our stuff away. Tire tracks are leading in the other direction, and we sort of dust our hands off. I'm like, all right, let's go to this tournament.
Okay. So you get on a shuttle.
So what does the shuttle look like?
So the shuttle is seemingly just a normal carriage with some horses in front of it. But the driver of the carriage looks back at you and goes, all right, just so you guys know, we're going to get a little high. The altitude's going to get a little intense. You're probably going to fall asleep, but don't worry. I got your back.
What a cool-ass shuttle driver.
That's fucking cool
as
hell.
The horses start galloping, and then the sound of their galloping begins to get lighter and lighter, and it's confusing, and then the galloping stops altogether, but you're still moving, and the horses take off into the sky because they sprout wings.
Sweet.
And they're like Pegasi. And you go into the sky, and as he promised, you begin to get a little lightheaded, and he goes, also, I'm going to meet up with another one of these shuttles. They're a little overloaded, so we're going to get some other guests. So when you wake up, if there's some new people, don't freak out. They'll just be on your team. You all are on a team.
Boy, a whole team of knights.
Yeah. Well, it's you guys and one other guy. As you go into the sky, you begin to fall asleep. And then when you wake up, You're in the sky in this carriage that's floating above a meadow shade, which you can see is this big field with all these different outcroppings. There's a little building somewhere, and there's mountains over there, and there's like a big building looks like a toilet over there, and there's all kinds of shit. You begin to wake up.
There's a big building that looks like a toilet?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah. No, you don't.
Yeah. You're all groggy or whatever, and you see Grant is sitting in the front seat.
Oh, my God.
And he wakes up, and he goes like, Dad?
Grant.
Oh, my God.
Ah, I close my eyes and I try to run.
Okay, so you run out of the carriage, you open the door of the carriage and begin to run out, and like you stumble and fall. Yeah. Are you gonna like try to grab onto the thing?
Yeah, I was thinking more like I turn and like probably hit a wall or something, but sure, whatever you want to happen. I don't want to fall out, but
yeah. No. Okay, so you begin to fall, but then you grab like so you just grab onto the sides, but you're like by your fingernails or whatever. And then Grant comes over and he goes like, whoa, oh, okay, let me, and he tries to pull you up, but you're too heavy. And he goes, it's fine. I mean, we were gonna. The question I was going to ask you when I saw you was, where are we dropping? You see a bunch of other carriages coming over.
Are you fucking kidding me? This is a battle.
And he goes like,
are you fucking kidding me?
It's four nights. Four
oh,
nights.
God, oh my God.
Are you kidding me?
God damn it. I look at Grant. I pull myself up. And I tears my eyes and I hug him real tight.
Oh, Fortnite. I get it.
Dungeons and Daddies is Matt Arnold as Daryl Wilson, Anthony Birch as our DM, Will Campos as Henry Oak, Beth May as Ron Stampler, and myself, Freddie Wong, as Glenn Close. Theme song and outro is All Right by Maxton Waller. Additional audio engineering this week by Chad Ellis. Chad was super helpful when we were starting out this podcast, and he had a lot of good tips for narrative and audio drama podcasts. So you check out his podcast. It's called Station Blue. It's an atmospheric horror audio drama about a guy working as a caretaker of an Antarctic research facility. And that's at stationbluepodcast.com or just search Station Blue. Special thanks this week to Ryan, Carson Kelleher, Caitlin Marquard, Johnny Stanton, Bryce Baker, Scott McLaren, Nicole Milan, Nadia Willis, and M. Stair for submitting names, items, and trivia questions that we used in this episode. Also, thank you to Andrew Perkins, Christopher Pete, Liz Hastings, Philip Beddingfield, and Emma Stolman, who are some of the now over 1,000 stalwart individuals who support us on Patreon. Speaking of which, we hit our stretch goal this last week of 1,000 patrons, and I think I speak for everyone on this podcast when I say how totally and truly blown away we are by that insane fact. And as promised, we are now gearing up to do a canon prequel campaign that Anthony is going to run called In the Mountains of Dadness, using the Call of Cthulhu RPG system and featuring us playing as the dad's grandfathers. We're very excited about that. So head on over to patreon.com/dungeonsanddads to keep up to date on the progress of that. This week, we're also releasing issue 2 of Daddy Issues, the in-character PDF newsletter featuring more great movie reviews by Ron, some strategy and tactics for the game of Pinochle by Daryl, as well as a look at some non-D&D RPG systems for beginner DMs from Anthony. The address again, patreon.com/dungeonsanddads. Dungeons and Daddies is also on Twitter. We're at Dungeons and Dads, bit.ly/dungeondads for a private Facebook group, r/dungeonsanddaddies for that subreddit where there's plenty of good memes and episode discussion to go around. Thank you again for listening. Our next episode is coming at you September 17th, so we will see you all then.
There was a time when you could read between the lines. You know they never brought you down. Never brought you down.
So while Will was getting his chair,
I got it already.
On YouTube, I searched Star...
Continue to steal my part of the intro.
I searched Star Wars Jizz, and there's a playlist called Star Wars Jizz Music. So if you're curious as to what we're talking about, go ahead and go to YouTube.
Henry's dad fact.
Or Pornhub.